Come on and bless him. Come on, that's an affirmation. You ought to be able to say that pretty easy. That you'll spend your always. Come on, come on, come on. He said, I'll never leave you. And I won't forsake you. Can you say back to him, Lord, I'll spend my always. I'll spend my always. Come on, all of us have experienced somebody coming in and going out of our lives, but it's those people that have remained with us through the ups and downs, the faults and the failures that have made a difference in my life. Maybe you need to do that right now. Maybe you need to find somebody that has been with you and stayed with you and just tell them thank you because you stayed. I appreciate that. Just tell them thank you. You stayed. I had some short always, but you've been there. And because God has loved me, I'm going to spend my always with him.
Woo!
Because he lifted me up out of my situation. I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but I'm going to spend my always.
Promise you.
God, if you'll keep me, I'll stay. God, if you'll keep me, I'll stay. God, if you'll keep me, I'll stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you want to file for text to heaven right now and just say, Lord, if you will keep me, I'll stay. Song said, the cross, you did that just for me. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to thank God for Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. And God, our Father, thank you so much. We worshiped our way to this point in the service celebration that we are now ready to hear what you are saying to the church. Lifted up our voices, we lifted up our eyes, our hands, and our countenance has been made lighter and we're closer. We can hear you now with clarity. We just want to know what you're saying. So we're going to listen to you and God, let our listening become part of our living. When we change the way we think, we are so very close to changing the way we live. And you know, Lord, we're willing to admit on this first Sunday that as wonderful as life has been, we're expecting it to get better. We've had some great days, God. We're just expecting greater. We're glad to come today, Lord, not complaining. Bills have been paid. The car's running. The roof ain't leaking. I don't hurt so bad. We just come to worship you and give thanks. We will bless your name. And God, that song just says so much about what it means to be in Christ Jesus. The cross, you did it just for me. When folk walked out of our lives, Lord, you were right there. People promised us that they weren't going to hurt us, and they did, but you were right there. They brought us flowers and put rings on our fingers and said they were going to be there forever. But Lord, some of them left us, hurt us, and crushed us. But Lord, when we were down to our last tear, there you were. When our legs couldn't carry us no further, you picked us up and took us on a little further. When we had rolled up in a little cocoon and said we didn't want to live. You said life and not death. So we're going to spend our always. Not worried about anything anymore. No fear. Because you didn't give us that. But our faith says we're going to run on and see what the end shall be. God, we thank you. Open our eyes and our ears now. Got to hear what you're saying to the church. Lord, have mercy on us. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Bless him by the putting together of your hands. Come on, everybody. Let's see if we can get everybody to bless the Lord just for a moment. Not asking too much. If we can just get everybody to lift up a praise offering to God, for he has been good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Grab your Bibles. The Gospel of John in the 15th chapter of John in our B series. Hope you're keeping up. Again, we're so thankful to our guests, to our regular friends. You've been hanging around with us for a while. We pray that you'll stay with us. The Lord would lead you to make a decision about discipleship in our church. We consider you a part of our family. And as Sister Scott mentioned today, family is just wonderful.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Amen. In John 15, if you will, please. God bless you for standing. Bless you for being attentive here to the word. It's a little past 12:35. We can do this very faithfully. We'll be on our way. Amen. John 15, I have a New Living Translation Bible, and the reading goes as following. From verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. Tell your neighbor, that's increase. You've already been pruned for greater faithfulness by the message I have given you. Tell your neighbor, that's preaching. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Say, that's it again. Yeah, that's it again. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. My true disciples, tell your neighbor that's faithfulness, produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. Tell your neighbor that's the payoff. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It is not my intention. Thank you, ushers. God bless you, all our young people. Let's bless God for our young people today. Amen. Amen. They're serving us. And it's good to see them in church and not elsewhere. And we're so thankful for that. Thank you, parents, for making your children available to serve in the ministry. We're so glad that they are doing what they do. Again, we are on a steady course that leads us to the Be Continued series, and I want to remind you of a simple fact that is true regardless of where we worship or who our pastor, preacher, minister is. That simple fact is that the Word of God is true. I thought I'd get more amens right there. I thought we'd start out with some easy stuff and work our way into the more difficult things, but the Word of God is true. Doesn't matter who preaches on a given Sunday, if they open up this Bible and read from this book, and you can follow along in your King James and your NIV or Revised Standard, and it sounds kind of consistent, then we ought to be able to agree that the Word of God is true. Second declaration I want to make is that you ought to live by the truth. I'm losing y'all early. I just want to make that declaration, Sister Sandra, because I can't help you otherwise. And my intention has always been, and I pray God will always be, that we would help the people of God. I don't know how you feel about your present status, but I feel like mine can go up a little bit higher. I feel like wherever I am in the Lord, I can go higher. I feel like whatever I know, I can learn some more. I feel like whatever I've done, I can do some more. And I just want God to be able to use me because I'm available to use. So here we are again. It's 12:39. I don't have much to bother you with, but here we are again, Deacon Anderson, in our B series. And today I want to talk about being connected. Being connected. Last week we were trying to help you to be convinced. Prior to that, we were trying to help you to understand what it means to be content. And prior to that, we were trying to help you to get your energy about being called. And at watch night, we were trying to get you convinced that you ought to be continued. Now, if you expect me to keep up with them like that after this, that was a bit much. I'm probably going to have to make me a note going forward. I'm going to keep up with some of them. But the reality is that most of us are not properly connected. I asked Ms. Tyler to sing that song again because when I was in the office, that's my little break time, I guess, between what we're doing, and it gives the ministers an opportunity to do some things so they don't feel useless. But I was listening to the song when it came, and I said, well, you know, that sets up the preaching. I don't often tell Stacy where I'm going to preach because I don't want him to feel obligated to try and set me up. But when I heard that from the praise ministry, I said, well, I'm going to ask them to do that again because it speaks to being connected. You ought not lie to God. I said, you ought not lie to God. You ought not sing songs that you ain't going to live. And I saw them struggling when you said to them, come on, you can say this. And you tried to implore them to at least say, can't you say out your own mouth that for always? And I found myself peeping because some of y'all couldn't say that. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's a poor disposition. When you cannot say to God, always. I read it right here in the text, Deacon Johnson, because the Lord himself is saying always. He said, listen, please understand that some of you are going to be pruned. But notice further in the text, Wanda, and I know you've read it, you're a good preacher. He said, it's not all of y'all that's going to be pruned. It's some of y'all just going to walk away. It's one thing to be pruned because pruning gives us an opportunity to be replanted and produce again. But when you just walk away, you done. Don't y'all miss that. Some of you people who are horticulturally driven and know a little bit about outdoor life know you can prune a rose bush and plant that which you prune and grow another rose bush. But if the child comes along playing in the yard and break off that stem and it's not rescued in time, it dies. Jesus says you've got to be properly connected. You can ill afford a severance. And for God's sake, don't just walk away. He reminds us of the criticalness of the status of Christianity because he says a whole lot will call my name. And I'll have to admit, I don't know them. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters, elect of God? It's a sad day when the Lord don't know your name. Sad day when Jesus cannot testify for you. I just told you in the communion preparation about that woman. The Bible will show us Jesus had never met that sister. Mama would say didn't know her from Adam's house cat. But in her defense, he took her case because he knew her in the spirit. He defends her because it is not that she is not guilty. It is not that she proclaims herself innocent. She knows she's guilty. He knows she's guilty. They know she's guilty. But he defends her because she's a part of the vine. Some of you ought to lift up your hands right now and thank God that you know your situation, but you're still part of the vine. The Lord hadn't cut you off yet. Letting you hang around, and for better reasons than you might even know yourself. Some of us ain't going to come into our own with the Lord until we old and tired. Some of us ain't going to run for him till we can't run no more. But he keeps us in the vine. So the text reminds us that the church is an interesting gathering of coming and going. I tell people all the time that the church has not only a front door, but a back door. Some folk come in the front door and stand here on a given Sunday and offer to us a suggestion that they're always going to be here. They're going to stand with the Lord. And as soon as we turn our back, the back door is swinging. Some churches have even a revolving door. Some folk go out and get caught up in the whirlwind and they back in again and out again. And you know I can't look at nobody right now. But that's just what the church is. Jesus is not surprised by the comings and goings of the church. Jesus is not surprised by the rise and fall of congregational numbers. But he gives us a spiritual principle that says stay connected. I've gone to many a funeral where the opening argument is join the church at an early age. But what happened? Throughout the ages. We haven't seen brother so-and-so in quite some time because they didn't stay connected. On the jump line, when it's time for the funeral, the wedding, or the bar mitzvah, we want to remind folk that we've always been a part of something. That's just a little jump line. Soon as that event is over, they cut the line again. But Jesus said, listen, if you're going to be true, you're going to have to hang in there. Got to be connected. And let me help you to understand. You would raise all kinds of mud if you picked up your phone and didn't get a dial tone because you were no longer connected. You'd get mad if you went out there and tried to start your car and somebody had taken the receptacle off the battery and you couldn't get no power. You would have all kinds of manner of disgust if you went home today to turn on your satellite TV and DirecTV or Dish Network done dropped the ball and you can't watch your favorite programming. You want to be connected. Yeah. Most of us get mad when we call the cable company. We done bought us a new 42-inch flat screen TV, 1080p. We got HDMI. We call out to Infinity or Cox and say, listen, I need you to come hook me up. They said it'll be 3 weeks. You say, what kind of cable coming? Why does it take 3 weeks to get me connected? You ready to watch your show? You ready to enjoy the pleasure? But Jesus says, stay connected. Best reception is when you stay connected. The best power is when you stay connected. You lose your connection, the power's gone. How many of you have been ironing? I know most of us don't iron anymore. But you have been ironing and just went a little too far and the cord came out. You didn't realize you started ironing. The iron got hard and you. And why do we always look at things when they don't work? Like that's going to give us the answer. Don't we all do that? When something starts working, you look at it. But then you realize what has happened. You've lost your connection. You say to yourself, oh, fool thing. And you. And it's always the fault of the mechanism itself, right? But the power makes the performance more pleasing. I hear the Lord saying, Deacon Anderson, that if I can keep GBC connected, the power will make the performance more pleasing.
Choirs will sing better. Ushers will serve better. Preachers will preach better. Deacons will pray better. Finances will go up. Buildings will expand. The power will make the performance more pleased. We'll look around and say, boy, look at here now. We got it going on because we're connected. Doesn't it bother you like it bothers me when you see what we see here? Doesn't it mean something to you like it means something to me when everybody don't come to communion? There was a time when everybody came to communion. If there is Sunday we stayed connected, we wanted to go and drink that cup. Show forth our holiness. Your words today were profound, well placed. Because holiness keeps us connected. Church ain't nothing but a building. But it's the Christ that makes the church more than a building. This building ain't saved none of us. Some of the old faithful, Sister Davis, in the Brookville Baptist days, thought 1916 was it. They found out it wasn't so. The church doesn't keep our marriage. This building doesn't keep our health. This building doesn't keep us employed. It is the Christ to whom we are connected. That makes a difference. See, here's the problem. If you're more connected to the building than you are to the body, you're going to find out some bad stuff. Buildings don't save us. I read a Bible, Deacon Johnson, that said, Jesus saves. Church don't save. Y'all looking at me cross-eyed. But I'm right about it. Jesus said, if you stay with me, everything going to be hunky-dory, fine and dandy, only up and up, on the straight. But he said, be mindful that apart from me, some of us have scratched our head, trying to figure out why what used to work ain't working no more. Check your connection. Am I preaching good now? Some of us have run into some difficulties. Now we got all fancy and got familiar and didn't sing like we used to. You know, we stayed on the choir when we needed a job. But once we got the job, the choir wasn't going to cut it for us. We came to every early morning and evening prayer when we were in trouble. But as soon as the load got lighter, that was an inconvenience to us. We didn't stay connected. But Jesus says, I'm a rock higher than any rock. I not only get you through the mud, but I can help you make something out of the mud. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? He said, listen, you can't make nothing happen without me. You got to stay connected. He doesn't talk about membership. He doesn't talk about auxiliaries. He doesn't talk about committees. He talks about him. Jesus is the only one that has the right to say it's all about me. That's what he said. He said, apart from me. Look at him and say, it ain't about you. Some of you been wanting to walk around and talk to some people about that. He said, I'm not going to let anybody reign supreme over the connective powers that I have. He said, my Father has given this to me. It's right there in the Bible. He said, my Father is the gardener, running things around here, and has given me this power. This is the breeding ground of Christianity. Can I preach to you momentarily? You wonder what might be wrong with your sons and daughters? You took them off the breeding ground. You put them on the football team, and you put them in ballet, and you put them, and then God got less time. Then you wonder why they raise up on you. They ain't connected. Breeding ground. This is where we make Christians. You wonder why the numbers of Christianity are falling? Empty pews. Wonder why we don't live like we. My mother-in-law and I were having a conversation on the way to church this morning, talking about how our brothers and sisters, our sons and daughters are falling. It ain't sequestration we got to worry about. It's spiritual impotency. We have moved God to the back of the bus. one about money. I ain't never heard God say nothing about he didn't have no money. I've never heard God worry about a fiscal cliff, sequestration, whether Congress agrees or not. I know the triune of God is always in agreement. You do know the government is shaped or symbolized by the Trinity of God. Look at the head of government. Legislative branch, judicial branch, you know. You look at the three heads there, Senate, Congress, White House. You know, look at it. You didn't notice that? You see it now. White House being God the Father. Senate, Congress being the Son and the Holy Ghost. How can they not agree? You don't talk to your father no any kind of way. Shame on those who speak about president in ill tongues. He's a leader. Jesus says, I'm the leader. You don't go around the leader. You follow the leader. Stay connected. I'm almost there. It's a breeding ground. How do we make a new church when we got an old church that ain't worth nothing? You wonder why your sons and daughters will not follow you to church? Because they know where you're going. You ain't no more at home than you are in here. You come in here and pretend with us like you connected and that you high and holy and love the Lord with all your heart. And then you get in the car and before you can get off the church parking lot, you beaten down church. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Deacon Davis, if your heart ain't in it, I'd have gone long ago. I wouldn't even fool myself. Jesus says, stay with me now. He said, listen, he said, you don't want to be useless. Your labor in the Lord will never be in vain if you stay connected. The relevancy of our lives is based on the relevancy of our Christ. What are you saying, Pastor? If God ain't first, your life ain't nothing. Oh, Lord, we ran out of amens there. Brother Thomas, order us some more amens. Your life is nothing without God. Still short on this side, Brother Thomas. Hospitality people, get your serving trays ready. No Christ, no life. Oh, you looking good. You dressing the part. You got it going on. God bless you, honey. But you ain't got no power. You ain't got no real life. You know you a shadow. You know when you leave here, you broke. When you came in, you were broke. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about spirit broken. They hung their harps in the willows. Said they would request of us to sing. We're not going to sing our songs in a land like this. But they don't even love our God. You want us to sing the songs of Zion in a strange place? They say we'd rather hang our instruments in the trees. Wonder why your choir disciples don't make every rehearsal. Wonder why the ushers don't come to every meeting. Wonder why we can't get folk to come pray. They ain't connected. Bet you go to their job, their cubicle ain't empty. Bet you get in their car, they got good jazz music to ride on. Bet when they hosting the little party, the little throwdown, the little blue light special at their house, they greeting everybody at the door. Yes, I made it personal. But how dare we stay disconnected? He said, don't you leave me. So you stay with me. It's about 4 minutes to one. I'm almost there. He reminds them. He said, listen, anything that you are is because of me. And you're right, Brother Davis. We walk around here talking about the Lord is this and the Lord is that and down through 42 generations and all that stuff, and then you ain't connected. You didn't rehearse your favorite lines from the scriptures. How dare we put on a show two or three Sundays out the month? Some of us can't even fool ourselves to come every Sunday. It ain't my fault. I'm trying to put it on me. I would go, but he just turned me off. They talk about me like that. Sister McKenzie, I thought you had that under control. I thought we agreed at the anniversary 4 years ago there'd be no more him and he. You brought out the box and everything. What happened? It ain't my fault that you don't hear God. You ain't connected. You can go to any church you want until you get connected. I'm not talking about joining the church. Deacon Walker, I'm talking about Jesus. You want to get mad at me talking about Jesus? You're going to stay mad a while. He said, how dare we? He said, you're going to leave me and expect to live a productive life? He said, it's contrary to my Father's will. You remember Jesus when he taught them that prayer, don't you? I've always said, Vicar, that one of the most dynamic discussions that he ever had was about prayer. Jesus did not suggest they didn't know how to pray before, because he said, and when you pray, pray like this. So he said, change how you're praying, because y'all been praying wrong. Any prayer that does not include the will of God being supreme is not a good prayer. You don't pray to God, Lord, make it go my way. Lord, give me, give me, give me. And you ain't ask him nothing about what he really wants from you. That ain't much of a prayer. One thing I will tell you in summary, he wants you to stay connected. You stay connected. Why? Because you're going to die without him. He said, I'm the true vine, my Father the gardener, and your disciples. What are you saying, Pastor? I am saying this is the structure of being connected. Yes, I have 2 minutes. This is the structure. Dean Davis, he said, this is the true vine, me. My Father is the gardener. And you are disciples. That's the structure. We don't need to come up with no new plan. We don't need no flow chart. That is the flow chart. God the Father, Christ, disciples. No confusion there. He said, but if you leave me, you know what I love about the Lord? The only real exit from the church is death. That's right. That's the only real exit from the church. Listen, because here we go. I'm not done. I told you I'm saving some things for better days. But here's what he says. You were created in the image and likeness of God. And we like that, Carolyn. We agree. We like that. Amen. Amen. We like John's summary gospel when John says, beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall be. We like that. We say, amen. I'm going up to heaven. I'm going to look and see him. I'm going to see me. But in the middle of all that, between creation and cremation, Jesus said, connection. Isn't that good preaching there? Them seeds, you know. Jesus says, I'm going now. Some of y'all got to be somewhere. Jesus says, two things must happen. Submit and stay. Never leave when the pastor says stay. No, go ahead. You understand what I'm saying? He says, you got to submit. Listen, can we get this over with? It ain't my responsibility as the man of God to chase you down. And I'm tired of folk blaming me for folk leaving. Talking about, well, you ought to go get them. I ain't chasing nobody down. When I was a trooper, I liked that. I liked chasing people. I would let them get way up the road, Deacon Anderson, so I could go fast. But that ain't the responsibility. It ain't the deacon's responsibility to chase you down. Deacon Johnson, old now and tired. He can't be chasing people. Deacon McKenzie lived far away. He can't be chasing people. He got to keep up with Darren and Cameron. That's enough. Deacon Davis can't chase nobody. You ought to submit and just stay. We shouldn't have to look for you. You ought to submit. You notice when Jesus recruited, he didn't have to run all over town. Just went to one little old creek, stood there a few minutes, said, hey, fellas, how y'all doing? Come on, go with me. They did the rest of the work. You talking about Brookville ain't growing. It ain't my fault the church ain't growing. Y'all should be out recruiting. Jesus, read the Bible. Jesus only had one recruiting ceremony. He grabbed Peter, James, John, Matthew. He got all them fellas and said, now go ye therefore. You want to do something about these pews? You go do it. But see, you ain't going to get nobody to connect if you ain't connected. You can't sell what you ain't bought before. I wouldn't buy a vacuum cleaner from somebody with dirty carpets. I wouldn't let a guy wash my car with a dirty car. I wouldn't let a roofer climb up on my roof and he didn't climb up on his own. And I ain't going to let nobody talk to me about the gospel that don't know the gospel. Our church will die because we're housed with the dead. You got to stay. So Jesus said, and I'm going, it's 3 minutes after one. Jesus says, don't go nowhere. Stay connected. Why? Because it's life. Here's the summary of my argument. Cut your arm off and see if you can still use it. Now, don't nobody go home and do that today and blame me, file a lawsuit against the church, saying, well, the pastor spoke as a man of God and prophesying. No, I didn't say that. But it's useless to you. You can't, and you'll miss it. You got to keep it connected. Go home and turn off the power box in the house and see what works. Nothing. Stove won't work, refrigerator won't, nothing. You disconnected the power. But here's the kick to that, and we're done. You can go turn that back on. But it's only when AEP cuts you off. Why would AEP cut you off? Because you did not submit and you did not stay. What do you mean? Well, submitting means you pay your bill. Staying means you remain a customer because you submitted. If you don't do what they ask of you, they got a right to cut you off. So Elizabeth, here is the simplicity of the matter. He's only asking you to stay. He's only asking you to surrender and to submit. And he said, if you do those things, I will keep the power flowing. If you just stay with me, just submit to me. Don't be no renegade. Don't be no troublemaker. But just stay with me, he said, because if you become a useless branch, I'm going to have to get rid of you. So the last struggle is service. What are you doing for your church? What are you doing in your church? Are you just starting trouble? Stirring up stuff? Keeping these little running commentaries after the service, in the parking lot, on the phone, texting, calling? You heard what he said? See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? What are you doing in service? If your answer is nothing under your breath, then while you're still breathing, you need another answer. You do know this is about service. You can't walk around talking only what you do for Christ will last and you ain't doing nothing. Am I preaching okay? You can't do that. You can't talk about for God I live and for God I'll die. How you living for God? Doing what? So he says, well, if you keep doing something, you'll produce something. So, Elizabeth, it is service. Last thing simply is this. If what we're doing does not glorify God, don't do it. Now, here's a big one, Jen. If what we're doing does not glorify, that means everything. That means everything. See, You've got to, and this is part of our next sermon, but don't be trying to compartmentalize your life for your own convenience under the disguise of being a wonderful Christian. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying everything you do matters to the kingdom. So don't be talking about, well, I'm not in church, don't worry about me and where I go. No,
You're going to get in trouble like that. Because if it's not going to glorify God, don't do it. It's right here in the Bible. The last verse says, and this brings great glory to my Father. That's the payoff. You really want God to be happy. So if you stay connected, you understand the structure of the matter, God the Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, the disciples, if you understand submitting and staying in service, you'll stay connected. Am I making any sense here? Deacon Walker, I made up my mind that I would try to keep this thing in a good conversational matter. The ran back and the hollering seemed to mess some of y'all up. Because that's all you remember. Boy, Pastor was getting down. Well, I'm not getting down for a while. I'm trying to help y'all. This is critical here. We got to get away from looking for the high entertainment value of the church. It's important that we get this. Stay connected. You see the structure? It's right in the text. You notice he didn't put nothing that we put so much value on in the text. He didn't talk about deacons or pastors or boards or auxiliaries. He said, my Father is the gardener. I'm the guy that he put on assignment, and you all are supposed to be a part of that. Sometimes we just trivialize too much, and then other times we overemphasize too much. We can get to the other part. We'll talk about things down the road. But just understand what the Lord is saying. Stay connected. Don't go nowhere, Ozilia. Don't go nowhere, Sister Wee-Wee. Just stay connected. Not to the Brookville Church, but to the Christ. I'm convinced if you stay connected to Christ, you can stay connected to any church. I would preferably like to have you with us. You got to stay connected. So here's what we offer you today. I offer to any man, woman, boy, or girl the opportunity to stand on your feet and to rise from your place and come to Jesus. I'm telling you today that if you come to Jesus, you get connected, your life will never be the same. God bless you, daughter. I'm inviting you to come. The doors of our church are open. Let's all stand together. We're going to leave. It's right at 10 after the hour. That's not too bad. I know we're looking for the day when we can come in and out like a dry cleaner, but God should mean more to us than how quick we get out of church. It should be what we got while we were there. I don't like to go places and be disappointed. I was telling the Christian Academy this morning about my new lunch experience, new restaurant here in the city, and I can recommend it for right now because it's pretty good. A little place called The Spot. Sister Raven is over there. She'll take real good care. You know you're not going to eat free. You have to pay for what you order, but I wasn't disappointed when I went there. I went there to get a good meal, and that's what I got. And that's how I feel about church. I don't want to come to church and not get something that can carry me a little further. You know, I don't like disappointment. So I refrain from putting myself in positions where more likely I'll be disappointed. That's why I don't go to movies like I used to. I'd rather buy the movie. And that way, if it start out slow, I can turn it off. So, well, you know, that's $16. That's gone. I encourage you to know that when you come to church, you're not going to be disappointed. Not if you stay connected, but you got to get connected. So I'm never in a hurry with this. I just want to let you know that there are some steps you got to take. Jesus says, in the day that you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't be like your forefathers were, hard-headed, stiff-necked people. Every Sunday, Deacon Antrim, I expect that we'll get three or four. I always start out with a Trinity number. I say every Sunday, Lord, if we can just get three or four more, And I look around this room on certain days and I see a couple of new faces here and there. I see some faces that have hung around with us for a little while, but I just want you to get connected. Again, it's not about joining GBC. It's about getting connected to Christ. Your life is in Jesus. Jesus says, apart from me, there's nothing. We can't live like that. Nobody can live like that. Everybody needs something. It is the essence of somethingness that speaks to the quality of our lives. That's why people get upset when they have accidents in their automobiles, because they feel so attached to that somethingness. That's why people get upset when you spill something on their garments, because they're attached to that somethingness. Or when somebody steals something from them, it takes something, because we are attached to that somethingness. So don't fool yourself thinking you can do it by yourself. You want to be attached to this somethingness. And this somethingness is Christ Jesus. He is the essence of our lives. So if you're here today, you can come join our sister. Your request be made known to God today. If you're here today and you don't have an attachment, a connection, the vine is waiting. You can be rejoined to the vine. Some of us, fallen branches, fallen from our place of connection. Storms came, winds blew, and we fell. But we can be reattached today. We can be reinstated, and the fruit will begin to grow again. The nourishing blood of Jesus will flow into us again. In a few weeks, trees will start to show signs of life again. They look dead today, don't they? But oh my Lord, when the juices begin to flow and the nourishment from the snow and the rain begin to make its way from the trunk up through the tree and out to the branches, little buds will pop up and we'll say, oh, look here, here we go. You pollen sufferers will hate it, but it's so necessary. Life begins to show itself again. And that's why we didn't cut you off early. That's why we didn't put you out the church when you looked dead. We just kept waiting for the season to change. Some of us now are starting to come into our season. Life's getting better, isn't it? Starting to feel your vigor coming back. Before long, fruit will start to be produced because we didn't cut you off. Because he wouldn't cut you off. So some of you have gone through your winter and now you're ready for your spring. Maybe you ought to come. And say to God, Lord, I'm ready for spring, that I can bloom and blossom again. Would you come now? Just to be restored. Just to say to God, you know what? It's been a long winter in my Christian experience, but I'm ready for my new season. If you're here today, lastly, I want to invite you. You desire to be a disciple in our church. We want to let you know that we've been waiting for you. Young man and young woman, mom, dad, we've been waiting for you. You'll come and be a part of us. It'll make us better. Our doors are open. Our doors are open. Our sister has come. She has her own request to be made unto God, and we honor that. And we invite you now to come and pray with us. I know you're ready to move on to the next adventure in your Sunday. It's a beautiful day. Don't want to hold you any further. Just come on and pray with us.